ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कम टू वर्स नंबर सिक्स। श्री शुक उवाच यदा तु राजा स्वसुतान असाधून पुष्णन्न धर्मेण विनष्ट दृष्टिः भ्रातुर् यविष्ठस्य सुतान् विबन्धून् प्रवेश्य लाक्षाभवने ददाः। Translation, please.
Sri Shukadev Goswami said, King Dhritarashtra became blind under the influence of impious desires to nourish his dishonest sons, and thus he set fire to Lakhar house to burn his fatherless nephews, the Pandavas.
Yeah, here the purport is important.
Purport: Dhritarashtra was blind from birth, but his blindness in committing impious activities to support his dishonest sons was a greater blindness than his physical lack of eyesight. The physical lack of sight does not bar one from spiritual progress. But when one is blind spiritually, even though physically fit, that blindness is dangerously detrimental to the progressive path of the human life.
Yeah. So he's saying Dhritarashtra was blind from birth, but his blindness in committing impious activities to support his dishonest sons, there was a greater blindness, he's saying. Mm-hmm. When he was in that one of the blind man's association meetings, my spiritual master was speaking, saying that even if one is physically blind, one can be spiritually enlightened. You know, you all might have heard that Surdas was also blind. But Lord Krishna personally used to carry he used to catch the stick of Surdas, and Krishna would walk ahead, Surdas would follow behind. So Krishna would lead him in Vrindavan, from one place to another. So although he was physically blind, spiritually he was enlightened one with eyes tinged with love, Premanjana Charita, you see. So that is a spiritual eye. Therefore we say Chakshudan Dilojai. So that is actually the Divya Chakshu or Prema Chakshu, the real eyes. So two types of situation are being spoken here. Dhritarashtra, he says, became blind under the influence of the impious desires to nourish his dishonest sons. So you will always see, just like there is a battle within our own system. On one side, our senses and our mind and our false ego. They all always fight for lower desires, animalistic desires. The senses want to do sense gratification. The mind wants to get pampered. The false ego wants to root itself in material consciousness. On the other side, there is intelligence, which is spiritual intelligence, which is having a tug of war with all this. So spiritual intelligence keeps on reminding us that false ego is bogus. False ego is should be given up, and we should have true ego. I am servant of Krishna. Similarly, the sense gratification should be given up. It should be Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bali Kam Krishnendriya Priti Cha Dhare Premana. So you should not try to satisfy yourself. You should satisfy Krishna's senses. And when Krishna is pleased, then you will become happy. Similarly, the mind also, you know, Aruna Koriha Mane Asha. So these things are spoken by whom? By intelligence. Intelligence says Aruna Koriha Mane Asha. Similarly, give up sense gratification, replace false ego by true ego. But other three enemies are angry with intelligence. Hey, this fellow is trying to shoot us down. So there is a tug of war in our system. So Dhritarashtra has a noble side, Dhritarashtra has a corrupt side also. If you read Mahabharata, you will see there's a tug of war going on in his mind. On one hand, he wants Duryodhana to become the king. At the same time, he knows he is not qualified also. He knows he is not qualified. And he knows his brother Pandu's sons are virtuous and pure and they are eligible, both from a competence point of view and character point of view. They are very qualified. At the same time, you know, his blood relationship with Duryodhana, some or other wants to be a, favoritist towards Duryodhana. He knows its lower nature, it is not proper, but he is unable to give up. He is feeling that, just like Suruchi was feeling for her son Uttama, she thought, my son should sit on the throne after Uttanapad. As soon as Dhruva sat, she got a shock. She thought that maybe he will occupy the throne. So my son should occupy. So just as Suruchi felt, same way Dhritarashtra also felt that my son should occupy. Although he knows his sons were not properly qualified and they had many sinful desires and they were atrocious, they were corrupt. So despite all these things, he was like adamantly desiring that somehow or other, I want to make my sons the kings of the world. This was not all. He also had a desire to see that the Pandavas are destroyed totally. Mamaka, Pandavaschaiva, he says, He wanted to destroy them. So that is what is being called here as the, spiritual blindness. Because he knows that the Pandavas are not independent. They are also very strongly connected to Krishna. Killing them would displease Krishna. He knows it very well. Although he knows it, he is not unable to rise above it. See, this is a practical problem of a conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, in the beginning, may be ignorant. But eventually he may become enlightened also. But after becoming enlightened also, still pashyanapina pashyati. He says, pashyanapina pashyati, which means he is seeing but not seeing. What is the meaning of that? That means he is a pretending sleeper. He is not a sleeper. He is a pretending sleeper. Sleeper can be woken up. Pretending sleeper cannot be woken up. Because he knows what is right, what is wrong. Still, there is a cheating propensity, very deep-rooted in the living entity, due to which, basically, that cheating propensity arises from weakness of the mind and senses and false ego. Because of that, one becomes corrupt. So, when we are living in this world, there is always a tug of war in our mind to make, in making the right choices in life at every step. And when we make choice after choice, the right choice, hundreds of times, thousands of times, that is the time we actually make a forward march in spiritual life. And the more we make negative choices, gradually we are being bound by the ropes. Our one wrong choice make, this hand is bound. Another wrong choice, this hand is bound, leg is bound. Suddenly you find completely, the multiple wrong choices makes us become weak and disempowered. Disempowered and progressing in spiritual life. And a practical example of disempowerment is how a human being becomes an animal. Animal is completely bound. So much so, animal cannot speak also. So once a devotee asked a question to one of the swamis, why, we all can speak to each other, why animals are put in such a body where they cannot even speak also, they are suffering. So that swami was giving a powerful example. He said, sometimes one pickpocketer boy, he had pickpocketed dozens of times, and the police had caught him. And one day, when they again caught him after 30-40 times to put him in the jail, the boy was shouting, yelling, he wanted to say something in the public. But the police slapped in his mouth only, like that. Don't say anything, shut up. And the people were shocked. They said, why are you beating a small boy like this? And the police people said, hey, you guys don't know. Who is he? We know. So we don't want any explanation from him. So, and then that Maharaj was telling, this is how the animals are not given any opportunity to reason out or speak anything, because people who have become very degraded are given animal bodies. Like that. Because of having made multiple wrong choices. So multiple wrong choices bind us. Multiple right choices liberates us. And we go upwards, progressing. Padam gacchantanamayam. We go towards the ultimate parampadam. So you will see Pandavas made several right choices, one after another. You will see, although the Pandavas, it's not that they made right choice very easily. They also had difficulty, but fortunately they had one Yudhishthira Maharaj at the top. Yudhishthira Maharaj was the eldest brother. Although Bhima was fuming, Arjuna was disheartened, Draupadi was broken-hearted, but they all were faithful followers of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Yudhishthira Maharaj subdued their feelings and he told them that you have to live up to the truth. What will please Krishna, he knew. So he made them walk the path of dharma. Therefore, at the end they emerged very glorious and victorious. You will see, not only they became kings of the world and ruled the world, you know, in a way that even Indra took attention of them. Even people considered Yudhishthira to be better than Indra also. So that kind of successful life they led here, and then at the end of their life they go back to Godhead. So that is because of making multiple right choices. And Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, and Duryodhana's associates like Ashwatthama and Dushyasana, all made wrong choices and repeated wrong choices. Karna made several wrong choices also in his dealing with Shalya, in his dealing with Bhishma Pitamaha. He said, if he is in, I am out. If I am in, he should be out. That's how he dealt with Bhishma. With Shalya, he dealt in arrogant way. Although he claimed to be friend of Duryodhana, but he didn't do what Duryodhana wanted him to do. I don't know what kind of friend is he. He acted independently, if you see like that. Duryodhana also maintained his political diplomacy in dealing with Dronacharya, Bhishma and all the other Kaurava leaders. So they made, these people made multiple wrong choices. And then collectively all the wrong choices dragged them down, the weight of the wrong choices. It just pulls a person down. When Krishna caught hold of the neck of Trinavarta, you know, and brought him down from the sky. So Trinavarta fell on a slab of stone and his bones broke to pieces. And still Krishna, baby Krishna was sitting on his neck still, catching his neck still, without, not even a scratch came on Krishna's body. And his body was glowing like a bluish sapphire. So seeing that, Nanda Baba made a comment. Nanda Baba said, see, this asura, he has fallen from the sky to the earth and his bones are broken to pieces. And he has died due to his own sins, he said. In fact, he was trying to kill our child, but he died due to his own sins. On the other hand, see our child Krishna. You know, he has fallen from such a great height and is still smiling and playing on his neck. And he is completely, you know, not a single scratch on his body. Because, you know, because he is protected by Lord Narayana, like that he said. So, in this way you will see, if we have physical blindness, it is not as serious a problem as spiritual blindness. So, what is spiritual blindness? Spiritual blindness is not ignorance. Generally, we think spiritual blindness is ignorance. Actually, as soon as you come in the company of devotees, Divyajnan, Hriday Prakashito, gradually happens as we practice. So Divyajnan is given to us. But therefore Prabhupada once said, if somebody couldn't come to Krishna consciousness, he is unfortunate. But if somebody came to Krishna consciousness, he is fortunate. But after coming to Krishna consciousness, one makes wrong choices and takes a U-turn and goes back from Krishna consciousness. Most unfortunate, he said. So Dhritarashtra is in that category. He got a powerful counselor like Vidura to guide him. Vidura was like a guru for him. He was a guru and counselor and guide, and who always gave the pure spiritual advice. But they were of no avail. He never took advantage. So you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, our Devahuti crying and saying that, my dear Lord, I am solidly cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy. Because I got you as my husband, who are so spiritually advanced, but I did not take advantage of you. I have wasted my life in sense gratification, going here, going there, and watching the beauty of the world and living my material life, materialistic life. So, in this way, Devahuti's lamentation is also very glorious, because her lamentation immediately brought her a guru. Who was the guru? Her own son, Kapila. Because she lamented that I couldn't take advantage of her husband, who was supposed to be like a guru for her, therefore, Lord himself came as her guru and then gave her wisdom. She hankered for wisdom, she got the wisdom. Dhritarashtra got abundant wisdom, he rejected it, so the wisdom didn't come to help him. Like, imagine, what is better situation? You are surrounded by wisdom, a lot of wisdom, and then you put a blanket around yourself and you don't access it. Like, sun is in the sky brightly, but you put a thick blanket over your face and say, where is the sun? I don't see the sun. Isn't it? On the other hand, Devahuti, she is seeing her husband taking sannyas and going away. And she is crying, I am not getting your association. Now I want to sit down and hear from you spiritual subject matter, but you are not there for me. You are going away. So, because she hankered, she got it. Subsequently, she became a very great devotee and then went back to Godhead also. Lord himself became her guru. So, here he is talking about the spiritual blindness, which is actually Jan Bujgar blindness. Correct, no? It's a knowingly. He knows what is right, what is wrong. And he is giving justification for his wrong act, Dhritarashtra. So let us go to 7th one. Read the 7th translation.
The king did not forbid his son Dushyasana's abominable action of grabbing the hair of Draupadi, the wife of the godly king Yudhishthira, even though her tears washed the red dust on her breast.
Actually, all these 2-3 verses talks about the injustices done to the Pandavas. Now this verse talks about Draupadi, how there was injustice done to her. Next verse, translation.
Yudhishthir, who was born without any enemy, was unfairly defeated in gambling. But because he had taken the vow of truthfulness, he went off to the forest. When he came back in due course and begged the return of his rightful share of the kingdom, he was refused by Dhritarashtra, who was overwhelmed by illusion.
In this way, Yudhishthira Maharaj was cheated by gambling, driven to forest. When they came back again, the kingdom was not given to them. In this way, the king was cheated like this. Read the 9th one also.
Lord Krishna was sent by Arjuna into the assembly as the spiritual master of the whole world. And although his words were heard by some like Bhishma as pure nectar, it was not so for the others, who were completely bereft of the last farthing of their past pious works. The king, Dhritarashtra or Duryodhan, did not take the words of Lord Krishna very seriously.
So here he is talking about how they were not able to give in 5 villages also. See in the purport, read the purport.
Lord Krishna, who is the spiritual master of the entire universe, accepted the duty of a messenger and, deputed by Arjuna, went to the assembly of King Dhritarashtra on a peace mission. Krishna is everyone's Lord. Yet because he was the transcendental friend of Arjuna, he gladly accepted the role of messenger, exactly like an ordinary friend. That is the beauty of Lord's behavior with his pure devotees. He reached the assembly and spoke out about peace, and the message was relished by Bhishma and other great leaders because it was spoken by the Lord himself. But due to the exhaustion of the pious results of their past deeds, Duryodhan or his father Dhritarashtra did not take the message very seriously.
That means the choices that we make in our life also depend upon the sukriti that we have. If the sukritis are increased more and more, they impel us to make right choices. Like, for example, when Gajendra was in trouble, he naturally looked up at the sky and prayed to Lord. Correct, no? Without turning away from the Lord. So yesterday also we were talking about this, that when you are put into trouble, do we run towards the Lord or away from the Lord? Demigods generally run towards the Lord, isn't it? Because they have sukriti. I heard one story in Ramayana. Interesting. See, one time there was a king called Gadi. He had 100 daughters. So these daughters once go to a riverside to play, and they all had very beautiful bodies, and they were singing, playing together in the riverside. They were all almost in a marriageable age. At that time, Vayu became attracted to them and came and proposed to them that, "I am ready to marry all of you, all 100 of you." And the girl said, "See, we can never marry someone who is of loose character like you. You know, we are not interested in you. Get lost from here." So this fellow, Vayu, became very angry. They told him that, you know, and Vayu warned them and threatened them, "If you don't marry, you know, I will cause some harm to you." They said, "You know, we are protected by our father. You can't cause any harm to us. In fact, you are taunting us. We also can taunt you. But for two reasons, we will not taunt you," they said. "One reason is, you know, we don't want to bring disrepute to our father. We want to save the good reputation of our father, so we will not taunt you. Another reason, by scolding you and retaliating to your movement by giving such kind of response, our accumulated credits of ascetic prowess, what we accumulated, that will diminish, which is called tapobalam, or the sukritis that we accumulated, that will get diminished. Therefore, we are not retaliating with you." Like that, they said. And the Vayu imperceptibly entered into their bodies and made them into hunchbacked woman and looking like old woman. Because in our body, if there is a Vayu disorder, the whole body gets this thing. So he did like that. All of them cried. But they did not take any action, although they were very powerful. They were also very powerful. And they told Vayu, "See, we are daughters of Gadi, and our father is a very exalted personality and is spiritually advanced. So we also have the power to curse you, but by cursing you, we will lose our sukriti. Therefore, we will not curse you," they said. And then they went back home, and the father saw their condition and understood. And the father congratulated the girls for not retaliating back and speaking ill words to Vayu, because he said Vayu is a demigod. One of the demigods, and you didn't react violently to her, towards him. So do not worry. You know, your problem will be eventually solved. And very soon, there was one brahmachari. His name is Kuli. I don't remember his name. There was one. And that brahmachari who was moving to grihastha ashrama. So he voluntarily agreed to marry all these 100 girls. And as soon as he would garland one of them, their bodies would become beautiful again, just as it was before. He garlanded them one by one, all 100 of them, they all became very beautiful. And these 100 girls, they were sisters of Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra was also Gadi's son. You will see that. So, but why I was telling, our Duryodhana had no pious credits because of repeated wrong choices in his life. He had accumulated enormous impious credits. And those impious credits were making him make further and further wrong choices. You see? Like that, therefore he is saying like that here. By past, and he is saying here, Dhritarashtra did not take the message very seriously. That is the way of persons who have no credit of pious deeds. By past pious deeds, one may become the king of a country. But because the results of the pious acts of Duryodhana and company were dwindling, it became evident from their actions that they were sure to lose the kingdom to the Pandavas. You see, one amazing phenomenon in a human life is when one is, you know, advancing or one is degrading, one can observe oneself. Like, you know, how one's, it's called self-observation. One can observe about how my activities are becoming impious, or my speech is becoming impious, and my behavior is not exactly in line with a Vaishnava devotee. So then I need to change. So these kind of thoughts are possible for a human being to experience. And then that is actually the point where one has to take a reverse gear. One has to change if one sees. Neither Dhritarashtra nor Duryodhana were ready for that. Therefore, although Krishna personally came and gave speech which was like nectar to the devotees, it was exactly opposite to the non-devotees. That was purpose, concludes in that purpose. The message of Godhead is like nectar to devotees, but opposite. And then he gives the example of sugar candy. For a jaundiced man it is bitter, for a healthy man it is sweet. So, in these two, three verses, 7, 8, 9, let us read the 10th one also. 10th verse translation.
When Vidura was invited by his elder brother Dhritarashtra for consultation, he entered the house and gave instructions which were exactly to the point. His advice is well known, and instructions by Vidura are approved by expert ministers of state.
Yeah, that's called Vidura Niti. Also, so Vidura expertly spoke on what is ideal behavior and what is wrong behavior, everything. So in these three, four verses, one observation you will make. First verse talks about Draupadi's tolerance. Second verse talks about Yudhishthira Maharaj's tolerance. Third verse talks about Krishna's tolerance. And Krishna also went as a Shantidut messenger, as God. You know, he can turn the whole universe upside down if he wants. But he is taking a very humble role of becoming messenger of Pandavas and going, you know, and speaking. So in this way, the Pandavas, you will find, they have been like shock absorbers. They have been absorbing shock after shock. They have been extremely tolerant. And that is actually the hallmark of character. If one's character is of a very high caliber, you will find in the Shastra innumerable examples of people who have extended their tolerance more and more and more. And Pandava showed. On the other hand, you will find Duryodhana, he was given amazing opportunity to rule the whole world just having after given only 5 villages. He was so uncontrolled in his senses that he didn't agree even for that. Therefore, you heard the term self-control, we say, no? Atma vinigraha. You know, what is the meaning of self-control? Self-control means not allowing ourselves to be controlled by lower nature. For example, somebody is controlled by cigarette. Somebody is controlled by liquor. Somebody is controlled by attraction for the opposite sex. Somebody is controlled by money. Somebody is controlled by the, you know, speeches of others, comments of others. Somebody is controlled by others and struggles hard to impress them. Or somebody is controlled by the inimical behavior of others. So all these people who become controlled by others, they don't have self-control. So self-control, what is the meaning of self-control? Self-control means, Yudhishthira Maharaj has self-control. Draupadi had self-control. You will see that. Arjuna had self-control. Self-control means you don't allow other people's lower nature to control you. Or other things cannot drag you down. Because you are a person of high caliber character. How can we do that? For that we need tolerance. So tolerance means two types of tolerance. One type of tolerance is the Maya presents many allurements. Allurements are attractions. Like Haridas Thakur was allured by a prostitute. But he tolerated. That is one type of self-control. Another type of self-control is, you know, like we have this Vachavegam, Manasavegam, Krodhavegam, Jihvavegam, Udaregam, Upasthavegam, we say, you know. So when the Pandavas, you will see, their control is not a blind type of control. Their control is based on dharma principles. When Krishna says, this is what you should do at this time, for Krishna's pleasure, they exhibited self-control. So, the pious and the impious, what is the difference? Impious have no self-control. And the pious should have self-control. And that self-control, the basis of the self-control is God's instruction. And this you find in the Samudra Manthan Leela also. Lord Vishnu told them, don't become, you know, greedy for capturing the gifts. Don't become angry with demons in case they carry the gifts and run away. And don't become fearful when halahal comes. Isn't it? And you should always be obedient to me and you should do whatever I say. See, for all these four things, you need self-control. To be obedient, you need self-control. To be not greedy, you need self-control. Isn't it? To not become angry on those who are running away with the... Even when the demons ran away with the Amrita Kalash also, still the demigods did not lose their cool head. Demigods didn't say, "Oh, Vishnu, come here, just see. You know, you told us to tolerate. Abhi dekho, this is the fruit of our tolerance. At least in between things we lost, we don't mind. But the ultimate thing also we lost. The whole idea of churning milk ocean was for what purpose? Nectar. And the nectar is gone now. Abhi tumhara obedience ka kya matlab? They didn't ask like that. Correct, no? They still had respect for the Lord. Because many people in the modern times think if you are a moral person, if you are a righteous person, you stand to lose. But the demigods were not like that. They see, remember that demigods had a lower nature also. But they subdued the lower nature and they became obedient. That's what is self-control. Draupadi and Bhima also had a lower nature. But because Yudhishthira gave them right instruction, they subdued the lower nature. So how can we subdue lower nature? By increasing our piety. When one becomes pious, how do we become pious? Earlier we studied Vipradharma Achyuta Ashraya. That is the main method of increasing our piety. Three specific words Prabhupada uses. Vipra means one should be guided by bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. That means I should not do anything independent. Whatever I do should be guided and approved and blessed by Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Then dharma means, he says, strict adherence to religious principles. We should strictly adhere to our surrender to Lord in the form of sadhana and everything. And then thirdly he says, strict adherence to religious principles also means we don't take a shortcut. A crooked path we don't take. We only take the right path given in Shastra. And then the third one is Achyuta Ashraya means one should cooperate with the wishes of the Supreme Lord, he says. So Pandavas, did they cooperate or not with the Lord's wishes? They exactly cooperated. Karishye Vachanam Tava. So therefore they became more and more pious. Their piety increased more and more because they were Vipra Achyuta Dharma Ashraya, you see. And then in this way, I have also written behavior of Krishna, because Krishna, here it mentions that Krishna is the guru of the universe. He accepted the Shantidut role. Lord is everyone's Lord, but because he was a friend, transcendental friend of Krishna, he accepted to be like a Shantidut. That is the beauty of the Lord's behavior with his pure devotees, he says. And then Dhritarashtra did not take the message seriously. That is the way of persons who have no credit of pious deeds. So he is making a comparison between two people, the pure devotees like Arjuna and personalities like Duryodhana. Personalities like Duryodhana, they never hear the Lord. They never pay attention to Lord's instruction. They act independently. And they act corruptly, and their impious deeds impel them to make wrong choices, you see. On the other hand, persons like Arjuna and Yudhishthira, they listen to the Lord, they are obedient to Him, they are in a loving relationship with Him, so much so the Lord becomes a charioteer. So Prabhupada is making a kind of comparison in this. And therefore, they attract the heart of the Lord, and the Lord becomes controlled by the love of such devotees. So, the lesson we learn for our life in this is to watch our choices and to modify our life by making the right choices. In case we are blind or ignorant, we can consult Vipradharma Achyuta Ashraya. Through that we can consult and find out, am I making right choices in life at every step in this stage? You know, in dealing with the Lord, in dealing with the Lord's energies, and in dealing with the Lord's devotees, and dealing with the common living entities. So am I making the right choices? And if you are making wrong choices, and the right and wrong choices also have their fruits also, which follow subsequently. So, in this way, Prabhupada explains about the pious and impious background, he's saying. So, nobody can blame the impious background. We can always modify our impious background by making right choices right now on this planet, yeah. See, come to... Okay, read the translation of the 10th one. 10th is over, 11th one.
Vidura said, "You must now return the legitimate chair to Yudhishthira, who has no enemies and who has been forbearing through untold sufferings due to your offenses. He is waiting with his younger brothers, among whom is the revengeful Bhima, breathing heavily like a snake. Surely you are afraid of him."
See, now Vidura is also provoking Dhritarashtra. He's telling Bhima is revengeful and is sniffing like a snake. And he's saying, surely you are afraid of him also, he says. Basically, he's trying to bring him to the right track by kind of threatening Dhritarashtra. Parthastu Devo Bhagavan Mukundo Grihitavan Sakshiti Deva Devaha Aste Swapuryam Jadu Deva Devo Vinirjita Shesha Nrudeva Devaha. See, he is telling, there are specific words used here. Kshiti Deva Devaha. Who is Kshiti Deva? The Brahmanas. And the demigods, he is saying. And then Yadu Deva Devaha. And the Lord is worshipped by the royal order of the Yadu dynasty. And he is Nrudeva Devaha. He is actually Lord of the Pandavas, the kings. Which means he is saying, understand, Lord Krishna is not an ordinary person. He is Kshiti Deva Devaha. Kshiti Deva is Brahmanas. And Lord Krishna is Brahmani Devaya. Correct? No? He is the Lord of the Brahmanas also. And Yadu Deva Devaha. He is actually the... He is worshipped by the royal order of the Yadu dynasty also. And he is Nrudeva Devaha. All kings like Pandavas, they are all subordinate to him. And they all work cooperatively with Lord Krishna. And in this way, Vidura is frightening Dhritarashtra. And that Krishna is a very close associate of Pandavas. Therefore, you should surrender the kingdom back. Like that he is telling. Very good reasoning, no? Isn't it? Read the translation.
Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, has accepted the sons of Pritha as his kinsmen, and all the kings of the world are with Lord Sri Krishna. He is present in his home with all his family members, the kings and the princes of the Yadu dynasty, who have conquered an unlimited number of rulers, and he is their Lord.
Now the 13th was important one. Sayesha dosha purushad vidaste. Grihan pravishto yamapatyamatya pushnasi krishnat vimuko gatashri tyajashvashaivam kulakaushalaya. Like that Vidura is advising Dhritarashtra. Tyaja ashu, give up your son very quickly, he's saying ashaivam, because your son is inauspicious. Kula kaushalaya, for the welfare of your family, give up your son. He's telling, tyaja ashu, not even give up very quickly. Very quickly, immediately you should give. And then he's saying, pushnasi krishnad vimuko gatashri. You are, you know, nourishing this boy, Duryodhana, who is actually Krishna vimukat, which means one who is always opposing the plans of Krishna. So you are feeding him and nourishing him is like feeding a snake. Like you have seen that, you heard the saying, you know, payampanam bhujanganam kevalam vishavardhanam. If you call a cobra snake and feed it milk and bananas and say, you know, please be happy, don't bite me, it will bite you. Because you are making his venom very stout and strong, correct, no? Similarly, he is telling, he is a Purusha Dvidaste. He is saying, he is envious of the Lord, Purusha. Sa Yesha, he is showing, actually Lord Krishna is showing to hand to whom? He is saying, Sa Yesha, he is saying, therefore Duryodhana became very angry. Now you understand, no? He is showing, finger pointing Duryodhana and saying, see, look at your son, Sa Yesha, Doshaha, he is telling. He is offense personified, he is calling him. And he is Purusha Dvidaste. He is envious of Lord Krishna. And Griha, he is saying, Grihan Pravishtaho Yam Apatyamatya. He is saying that, see, you are thinking him to be a good successor for you, a good son. But he is not a good son. He is Apatyamatya, means he is a bad son. He is not a good successor for you. No, no good. You can't make such a son your successor. So like that he is saying, relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible and do good to the whole family. Like that he said. Don't maintain this non-devotee of Lord Krishna. By feeding him and pampering him, you will also get degraded along with him. Read the purport.
A good son is called Apatya, one who does not allow his father to fall down. The son can protect the father's soul when the father is dead by offering sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This system is still prevalent in India. After the death of his father, a son goes to offer sacrifices at the lotus feet of Vishnu at Gaya and thus delivers the father's soul if the father is fallen. But if the son is already an enemy of Vishnu, how in such an inimical mood can he offer sacrifice unto Lord Vishnu's lotus feet?
Yeah. And then below he says he himself was to fall down because of faithlessness towards Vishnu. How then could he protect his father? Therefore, Vidura advised Dhritarashtra to get rid of such an unworthy son as Duryodhana as soon as possible. If he was at all anxious to see to the good of his family. So Chanakya is saying, what is the use of a son who is neither a learned man nor a devotee of the Lord? If a son is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he's just like the blind eyes, a source of trouble. A physician may sometimes advise removing the useless eye from the sockets so that one can be relieved of the constant trouble. Imagine if somebody has a blind eye which also has a wound and the wound is causing pain. So on one hand the eyes are not serving the purpose of seeing and the wound is causing severe pain. So what the doctor may advise? Remove that, because anyway it's not helpful to see. You remove the eye and then the wound will be gone along with it. So Duryodhana is compared to that here. Duryodhana is exactly like blind, troubling eyes. And he is going to be further source of great trouble for to the family of Dhritarashtra, as foreseen by Vidura. Therefore, he advises his elder brother to give him up. So, the putra means one who delivers the parents from hell. So, the son who delivers the parents from punnama naraka, it is said, trayate. One who delivers the parents from the hell named Poo, it is said. So, he's a good son. You will always see the Shastras filled with examples of good sons and bad sons. You will find Dhruva Maharaj became a good son who delivered his mother subsequently. When he went back to Godhead, he took his mother also. And Rishabhadev's 100 sons were good sons. They faithfully heard the instructions and they followed. Similarly, you find in Mahabharata, Asamanjas, who was son of Dilip. Dilip? No, not Dilip. What is his father? Sagar. So this Asamanjas was also, his behavior was similar to Vena. But actually, there is a difference between Vena and Asamanjas. Because Asamanjas behaved like Vena, throwing children into the ocean, and things like that he would do. So his father tried to rectify him, he couldn't rectify. But his behavior was like this. Why? He wanted parents to develop detachment for him. He was a yogi in the previous life. So after the parents got completely detached, he was driven to jungle where he continued his yoga and perfected his life. So that is Asamanjas. But Vena was not like that. So sometimes the Shastras talk about such kind of sins. Vena was a bad son. So our Anga Maharaj, when he was performing the sacrifice, he saw that the demigods are all refusing to accept the offerings. So he asked the brahmanas, after taking the permission to break the vow of silence, when he asked them, why are they not eating? They said, see, why are they not taking? Because they can't give you a son. Because you have, in this life, even in your mind, you didn't commit a sin. But in Purva Janam, you have committed some sin, due to which the demigods cannot offer you a son. So they are thinking, how can we accept the offerings? Because we can't give him a son. So they are not accepting, he said. Then they told, but Supreme Lord can do impossible things also. Although you don't deserve a son, Supreme Lord can give you a son if you want. Because he has special technique. What is the technique? He will give you a son and give you trouble along with the son. Which will be equivalent to not having a son. That much trouble. Supreme Lord can play like that. So that time you will find Anga Raja accepted, because he wanted a successor. He accepted Vena as a son. So you will find Anga's realizations is given in Bhagavatam. Anga says, you know, in this world a good son is better than a bad son. Why? Because good son brings reputation to the family. And a good son is a faithful follower of the father. And a good son also takes responsibility on behalf of the father. And the good son can help the run the family and business and everything. So the father can be relieved nicely, very smoothly. But then he said, there is a problem with having a good son. What is it? He will become attached. How so obedient is my son? How sweet is his behavior? How kind and courteous is he? Exactly like me. He is my Xerox copy. Now he may feel like. So in this way, one may consider living at home even after retirement also. Even after 60, 70, 80, one may think, after all, son is taking good care of me, let me live here. Therefore, he said, it's better to have a bad son than a good son. Why? What is the advantage of a bad son? He will make you fed up. You will get fed up with him. You will get fed up with life. You will think that, this life is not worth living. The life at home is not happy. Better, you know, go to other holy places. Let me get rid of the home, because the kind of lifestyle the son is indulging in, you know, the father gets fed up. Can you give some examples for this? Angamara himself is a good example. He got fed up with his son, but citizens loved him very much. And they wouldn't leave him. So what he did in the dead of the night, he escaped. Next day morning, citizens came and saw he was missing. They all cried out loudly. They didn't know where he was. But then he went to the forest, met the saintly persons, practiced pure devotion service and went back to Godhead. Like that. So, in this way, now we may say, that means Duryodhana being a bad son, is it not good for Dhritarashtra? But Dhritarashtra's problem was, Duryodhana was a bad son, but he was not able to develop detachment. Because he was an extremely attached father. Therefore, you will find in this world, it is not that even if one gets a bad son, they will develop detachment. It is not necessary. But Anga Maharaj had a lot of Bhakti Sukriti. If one has Bhakti Sukriti, two conditions are to be fulfilled. You should have Bhakti Sukriti also, and you should be put in a terrible situation. For example, your health is very bad, or people in your department are not cooperating with you. For example, they are creating trouble for you. Or you are finding that you are given one assistant who never hears you. He is manmani, you know, he is independent. So you get fed up. Then when you should be fed up also, and you should have Bhakti Sukriti also. Then you go back to Godhead. Correct, no? So Anga Maharaj had Bhakti Sukriti, and he was fed up with his bad son, so he went. But poor Dhritarashtra, he was materially blind and spiritually also blind. Therefore, he had a bad son, and he became attached to bad son also. Just like I heard my spiritual master was saying in one lecture, he was saying that Diti had two sons. You all know who are they, dangerous fellows. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyaksha. So and sometimes the demigods would complain that these two fellows are doing atrocious activities. And Diti would say, I agree, they are a little naughty. You know, she would say like that. So he was telling, for a mother, even if she has a bad son to whom she is attached to, she is blind to their atrocious activities. Due to material attachment, emotional attachment. Dhritarashtra also, when many people would say, see, Duryodhana is doing like this, Dhritarashtra would say, so what? He is after all my son. He's a king's son. He's a wonderful boy. Maybe little trouble here and there he creates. He put fire to Pandavas, little bit in the Varnavat. That's all. You know, he took it very lightly. So, it's not that, you know, bad son or a bad situation will make us advance in spiritual life. We have to have bhakti sukriti and we have to make the right choices. Then only. For example, there are devotees who become discouraged in their spiritual life when they have, you know, some broken relationships with equal friends or some kind of discouragement by another devotee. They lose their enthusiasm. They lose their eagerness. And months pass in depression. In several months may go and they may not do anything. That is because they don't know how to convert misfortune into good fortune. Yeah, you see. So, in case you have passed Sukriti, that Sukriti will impel you to run to Krishna's lotus feet. In case you don't have passed Sukriti, by good Sangha, we can make right choices and proceed in the right direction. Impelled by the right, association, we can make the right choices and increase our Sukriti right now. If past Sukriti is less, now we can create Sukriti now. And the third option is a useless option, which is becoming hopeless and depressed. And that was the situation with Dhritarashtra. He would ask Vidura, Vidura, should I allow my son to play gambling? Vidura would say, definitely not. Then he will go to Duryodhana and say, Duryodhana, you know, my advisor is saying that you should definitely not play gambling. And Duryodhana will say, Father, if you don't let me play, I will consume poison and die, he will say. Then he will come back to Vidura and say, Vidura, he says he will consume poison and die. Vidura will say, very good. Very nice. Instead of you killing him, he himself will die. Very nice. But then again, Dhritarashtra would think and say, you see, Vidura, when I am surrounded by such great souls like Bhishma, Drona and yourself, how can any misfortune befall upon me, even if my son plays gambling? You are all there to protect me. So Vidura would say, see, my dear king, don't shirk your responsibility. Don't escape from responsibility. Several times Vidura advised. But Dhritarashtra was too attached, you see. So in this way, this 13th verse talks about apattamatya. You are thinking of this sinful fellow to be your son. And your attachment to him is the cause of the downfall of the entire Kaurava race. Like that he is telling. See, such a good son like Prahlad can deliver his father, correct? Demoniac father was delivered by such a good son like Prahlad. You can see that. See, the 14th one, demoniac association causes one to lose discrimination. Read this thing.
While speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respectable persons, was insulted by Duryodhana, who was swollen with anger and whose lips were trembling. Duryodhana was in company with Karna, his younger brothers, and his maternal uncle Shakuni. It is said that giving good counsel to a foolish person causes the fool to become angry, just as feeding milk to a snake only increases its venomous poison. Saint Vidura was so honorable that his character was looked up by all respectable person. But Duryodhana was so foolish that he dared to insult Vidura. This was due to his bad association with Shakuni, his maternal uncle, as well as with his friend Karna, who always encouraged Duryodhana in his nefarious acts.
Now you take two people, one is Karna, one is Vidura. Now Vidura is giving good advice to Duryodhana, but Duryodhana is becoming angry and upset. You will see in this world that truth is always bitter. And whoever speaks it becomes a bad guy. Like Vidura is superior to Duryodhana and is giving good advice. But Duryodhana doesn't want to take. But Karna is a demonic association for Duryodhana. But in that association, he is flourishing in Pravartante Ashuchi Vratau, Krishna says in 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. They flourish in nefarious activities. Duryodhana is flourishing. So, the main point here is this. that when one is getting demoniac association, that makes one lose discrimination. Innumerable examples, you will see, Kamsa is getting company of his bad ministers. The previous night, he offered obeisances to Devaki, Vasudev released them from the jail after seeing Durga Mata. And he became soft-hearted and cried tears also. So all that happened. So he became like a good man. And next day morning, his demoniac ministers came and preached to him and said, "My dear king, you don't know who you are. You know, the demigods put their mukut on your feet and they tremble in front of you and run away. All demigods, except Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, nobody, you know, can stand in front of you. You are the most powerful," and they pumped his false ego like anything. And the demoniac people ruined his, good consciousness. In fact, they told him, "My dear king, your only worry is the eighth son, correct? He might be born somewhere, he may kill you. We have an idea. You kill all the children, you know, born in all these lands in the last 15 days. Then that child also will be killed." So this is the idea they gave. Can you imagine? Killing thousands of children. Boosting his false ego, giving a demoniac suggestion plan. They did that. And hearing this, again Kamsa regained his demoniac nature. Therefore it is said, one whose senses and mind are not controlled, you can't trust him. Because he will have swinging moods. You know, he will become appear like a good man, then he becomes a bad man, then a good man, like a pendulum. He goes back and forth because he has no control of senses and mind, you see. The demon. So the demoniac association caused him to lose discrimination. Again he made a wrong choice. Night he made a right choice, morning he made a wrong choice. Again you see that. Same thing with Ravana also. Vibhishan gave good advice, but he became envious of Vibhishan. In our life also we should see, if somebody points our faults, gives a feedback for our self-improvement or our better performance or for the better future, one of the immediate responses of our mind is to become emotional and to become critical and then to develop a negative viewpoint about the person who is giving us the feedback. You are telling me I have some problem, you are a bad guy. See, he is telling I am wonderful, he is saying I am wonderful, he is saying I am wonderful, everybody is saying I am wonderful, you are the only one who says I have problem. That means, you have problem. Correct, no? See, I am telling you how our mind works. You may not say openly with the mouth. All of you ask in your life, your superior who gave one feedback to you, your respect for him and your appreciation of him becomes shrunk as soon as he has given some improvement point to you or some feedback to you. Think about it, you will see that. Therefore, sometimes you find even between guru, even Diksha Guru and disciple, if Diksha Gurus are directly dealing with disciples, some disciples develop problem with Guru also. Because Guru is their immediate authority. So when Guru gives some feedback, you should not do this, you should do this, something like that, they can develop, they may think that, why is he not understanding my situation? I know what I am and he doesn't know what I am. Things like that. So that's what Duryodhana also thought. As soon as Vidura was trying to curb irreligious behavior, in Dhritarashtra, or Duryodhana, or any of them. So immediately Duryodhana thought, this fellow is my enemy because he doesn't allow me to do what I want to do. See, the jiva wanted to do sense gratification, and when sense gratification is stopped, whoever is stopping it becomes enemy immediately. So therefore he says, demoniac association causes one to lose discrimination. See, two types of discrimination are lost. One is, Kamsa took a right path, and then demoniac association made him take the wrong path. So he lost discrimination. That's one meaning. Another meaning of losing discrimination is that the person giving good advice is treated as an enemy. Therefore, that is also wrong discrimination. You understand? Yeah, he is considering enemy to be a friend and friend to be enemy. Correct, no? Asatyere satyakorimani. He is considering the asat people to be his friends. And people who give him real advice for his good, he considers them his enemy. You see? So therefore, many of you sitting here, you are counselors to many people. Counselor job is not a very easy job. There are many counselors who say, Prabhu, I cannot tell this to my counselee because my relationship will be spoiled. So I told this to Shaman Prabhu once, that one devotee is saying like this. Prabhuji, one counselor is saying, they cannot tell their counselee because relationship is spoiled. Shaman Prabhu laughed loudly and said, that means that person has no relationship, he said. If he says his relationship is spoiled, that means he has no relationship, he said. That means what he meant was this, that if a counselor gives a correction to a counselee, the counselee should be able to absorb it and still continue to consider the counselor to be his well-wisher. Correct, no? And you will find Krishna is several times scolding Arjuna and Yudhishthira also, giving suggestions to them, Pandavas. Don't do this, don't do that. This is right, that's wrong, he keeps telling, isn't it? And they never considered Krishna their enemy at all. Huh? Whereas here, Vidura was considered an enemy by Dhritarashtra, huh? By Duryodhana, all of them. Either he says. Yeah. So that is why we have written, demoniac association causes one to lose discrimination, you see. Yeah. I read the 15th one. Translation.
Who asked him to come here? This son of a kept mistress. He is so crooked that he spies in the interest of the enemy against those on whose support he has grown up. Toss him out of the palace immediately and leave him with only his breath.
See, he is treating respectable Vidura. He is insulting him. The foolish Duryodhana is insulting him so terribly. Yeah. So Prabhupada gives a very beautiful explanation. He says about how the dasis were there in the palace. Sometimes by intimate association with the king, they would get some sons. So they were not given the royal treatment, the sons born of the dasis, because dasis are servant maids. They are shudranis or servant maids. But occasionally they may also get a son because of becoming intimate with the king. So then such sons were called dasiputras. So dasiputras were allowed to live in the palace with others, but they were not given any royal claim. They won't get the share of the property and all, money property, but they were allowed to live. Because they were born from the king, therefore they are allowed to live in the king's palace. But because they are born of lower caste dasis who are not properly married to the king, therefore they were not shareholders of the property. You understand? It was like that. They were only getting maintenance and other facilities just like the princess, yeah. And then below he says, read that, Dhritarashtra was very affectionate.
King Dhritarashtra was very affectionate toward his young Dasiputra brother Vidura. And Vidura was a great friend and philosophical advisor to Dhritarashtra. Duryodhana knew very well that Vidura was a great soul and well-wisher, but unfortunately he used strong words to hurt his innocent uncle. Duryodhana not only attacked Vidura's birth, but also called him an infidel, because he seemed to support the cause of Yudhishthir, whom Duryodhana considered his enemy. He desired that Vidura be immediately put out of the palace and deprived of all his possessions. If possible, he would have killed him. He would have liked him canned until he was left with nothing.
Canned means, beaten, yeah.
He was left with nothing but his breath. He charged that Vidura was a spy of Pandavas because he advised King Dhritarashtra in their favor. Such is the situation of palace life and the intricacies of diplomacy that even a faultless person like Vidura could be charged with something abominable and punished. Vidura was struck with wonder at such an unexpected behavior from his nephew Duryodhan, and before anything actually happened, he decided to leave the palace for good.
Yeah. See, you all know the background pastime of Manduka Muni chastising Yamaraj for taking an action on him in childhood for an innocent dealing with the insect. For that, the king's guards came and threatened. They captured some. He had mistreated an insect for which he was supposed to be. A lance was supposed to be pierced on him. And that kind of punishment was supposed to be given. But then, when he was taken to the king, he was later on given up. That punishment was not given to him. But then, he said, Yamaraj said that in your childhood you misbehaved with an insect. Therefore this was given to you. So then Mandukamani told him that such mistakes committed in childhood are forgivable according to the law of God. Small children's mistakes are forgivable. So, but you have given a wrong type of punishment. So he caused him to become a Shudra. Who? Mandukamani. He gave him. So now you can see Yamaraj was such a mighty personality, and he has hundreds and thousands of Yamakinkaras who punish the evil. They do that. But here you find how he is being treated by Duryodhana with sharp insulting words, and his Yamakinkaras would treat the living entities. That is the way he himself is being treated. How the situation can change, you can see that. So in this way, he is saying that I have given the heading, Intricacies of Diplomacy in Palace Life. So here Prabhupada talks about that towards the end here. He says that he charged that Vidura was a spy of the Pandavas because he advised King Dhritarashtra in their favor. Such is the situation of palace life and intricacy of diplomacy. What is intricacy of diplomacy? See, there is a story of once how a jackal went to the riverside to drink water in the river. And the jackal was hungry. He was looking for a nice food. And there was a tender lamb, small lamb drinking water the downstream. And jackal was drinking water upstream. So jackal turned to the lamb and said, "Hey lamb! Why are you making the water muddy?" He asked. "Don't you see that I am drinking water?" And the lamb said, "Sir, you are standing at a higher position. I am standing at a lower position. How can I make your water muddy? Water is coming from there to here. I just came to drink little water and go. You know, I am not making your water muddy, sir," the lamb said. Then the jackal said, "Maybe you didn't do it, but your grandfather must have done it. So I have to eat you up now," and pounced on the lamb. And he pounced on the lamb, you know, and he wanted to eat up the lamb. So what was the goal of jackal? To eat the lamb. And for that, what did he do? He has to give some excuse. Correct, no? If he simply pounces on the lamb will say, "How can you be so merciless?" So he wants to give some reason and then pounce on him. You understand, no? This is how Duryodhana also did with Vidura. Correct, no? See, Vidura is a good advisor, giving advice to Dhritarashtra. But Duryodhana already had talked to Shakuni. Shakuni and Duryodhana had made a plot that somehow this Vidura has to be out. In order for him to be out, he has to have some excuse. And now this came as excuse now. Correct, no? That's what he's saying here. And then not only that, he is also using very specific sharp words. Prabhupada says in one of the purports, for a person like Duryodhana to jokingly call Vidura as Dasiputra couldn't be taken seriously. In another purport, Prabhupada says that. But sometimes you can joke also, but the joking between uncle and a nephew would be all right. But here it was not joking, it was serious. It was a serious matter because he spoke in such a tone and such an attitude. It was clear that his heart is full of hatred. The words were coming out of hatred. So one of the reasons for his sharp words is that Vidura should not consider staying in the palace. Because sometimes if the insult is not strong enough, one may consider continuing. You may say that, "Hey Duryodhana, please don't speak such words. Thoda sambhal kar baat karo," you know, you say like that, and then you may continue living, correct, no? So therefore he made sure that he will use extremely sharp words, so he will be out. So these are all political plans. Maybe he and Duryodhana and Shakuni must have made a plan together. Shakuni must have told him, "Just wait for an opportunity. As soon as you find some fault in Vidura, spell out something and throw him out. Once Vidura is out, you are the king. And you can be king for your life, for your whole life." That's what Prabhupada calls it as intricacies of diplomacy in palace. Like, you know, one time in one of the particular colleges, I used to go to the college principal through somebody and then get some work done. But this principal had gone to one vice-chancellor's office. Yeah? I happened to be in the vice-chancellor's office also. Vice-chancellor called me and I told him about all youth preaching and everything. He said, oh, you guys are doing very good work. I have more than 150 colleges under me. Yeah? If I want, I can allow you to do these programs in all my colleges. And then I told him, sir, but in your college here in Pune, you know, we don't get permission very easily. It becomes difficult, I said. And then he said, really? Then he said, call that principal, because he was in the same building in another floor. And the principal came. He said, hey, Swamiji, in ISKCON se aaye hain, inko permission aap log kyon nahin dete hain? Kuch problem hai kya? Because he's the owner, he can talk in that tone, correct, na? And immediately the principal, no sir, we will give it, all that he said. Then he said, please send this Swami to my office, I will sit with him and we will make a plan, he said. So after we talked, I went down to the office. And as soon as I went to the office, he asked me, aap unke paas jaakar kyon bol rahe hain in vishyon ke baare mein? Mere paas aana tha na aapko, huh? He was like a little angry like that. Huh? And then he arranged one program in the college, which I went and gave. That was the last program. After that, whenever he sees me, he remembers that incident. Because his ego got hurt. You understand, no? Huh? Now, whenever I went to him asking for permission, he would give reasons, we are secular, we are this, that and everything. Huh? But then I understood one thing. If I go, he remembers that incident because of ego problem. Because I talked to Vice Chancellor and then from the top he was given a push, correct? No? So he got, his ego got hurt. Now years have passed, things have changed. Now I don't go to him, but now our Ramal Ketan Prabhu, Madhav Sev Prabhu, they are very close friends. They go, and of course this person is allowing them to do program also in the college. Wonderful, no? And the same college gave us the grounds also for our big youth festival, isn't it? So we can see that. So we... Now, whenever I used to go for permission, you know, give a permission for one time, he will have some political, like he says, what do you call it, diplomacy or political intricacy. Some excuses he will give, because of this we cannot organize. You know, boys have this, boys have that. Or we have this particular problem in the semester or something. But now I am not going, somebody else is going and everything is going peacefully there. You understand, no? So the problem of Duryodhana is with whom? Vidura. And he wants to corner Vidura. So he is using this occasion to corner him. You understand, no? So one lesson we can learn in our life is, we should not corner people politically. That lesson we can learn, like Duryodhana. Why, for example, when you have a problem with another devotee, for example, then you have labeled a devotee as your enemy, for example, then you should not think that, say, for example, there is an opportunity for the devotee to do some very nice preaching. There's an opportunity for the devotee to do flourish in some way. You have the, what do you call it, in chargeship, whether to provide the facility to the devotee or not. And what are we likely to do if you are driven by enmity? We may deprive the devotee of the opportunity. That is called political diplomacy. Correct, no? But in case one is broad-minded, one thinks that this enmity, what I feel, is simply superficial. Let me give that opportunity to the devotee. He can flourish, department can flourish, others can flourish. Correct, no? This is one example of opportunities. Another example of money. For example, you have 5 lakhs with you. If you give it to a particular department, the department is starving already. If you give, the department can flourish. Many devotees will be happy. But the HOD of the department is having problem with you, enmity with you. So there are people who will keep this 5 lakhs for 5 years also, but they will not release it due to political diplomacy. Because I like the department, I like the activity, but the person I don't like. So because of that, I will not release the fund for them. You understand, no? So these kind of things devotees should not do. We should always see whether Krishna will be pleased by this act. Will Guru be pleased? Will Krishna be pleased? So here you see, if Vidura being in Hastinapur would flourish Hastinapur or not? Will make Hastinapur wonderful. But Duryodhana is considering him a thorn. And he wants to get rid of him. You can see that. It's political intricacy. Yeah, come to 16. Read the 16th translation.
Thus being pierced.
We will recite this verse.
Yeah.
Swayam dhanur dvari nidhaya mayam. Bratuh puro marma sutadi topi. Sayittamatyul banakarna banair. Gatavyato yadurumanayanah. See, it is not that Vidura is a pure devotee, he was not hurt. He was suddenly hurt. See, the line, second line says, Bratuhu puro marmasu tadi topi. It says, in the core of the heart, he was deeply hurt. Who? Vidura. Any of us, when you hear insulting words, it's very piercing to the heart. And then he is saying, Karna Banair. Karna means ears. Banair means arrow. Like that sound. As if the arrow is piercing his ear and the heart. He felt, yeah. Yes. But then he says, Gatavyatho. He got rid of the pain. How? He is saying that he was a very great personality. So, He took it in a different way. How he took it is going to be explained. Read it.
Thus being pierced by arrows through his ears and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door and quit his brother's palace. He was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme.
Yeah. So Duryodhana was driven by external energy and Vidura was driven by internal energy. Therefore, you will find Duryodhana spoke harsh, insulting words, and Vidura took it positively and went for a holy pilgrimage. Prabhupada writes in the purport, a pure devotee of the Lord is never perturbed by an awkward position created by the external energy of the Lord. See, the external energy of the Lord creates many awkward positions for us. Like Rupa Goswami says, when your health is very spoiled in old age, you know, don't get discouraged in your devotional service, he says. Maintain your devotional spirit very high, although the external bodily health may not be very good. Somebody gets a heart attack and has an angioplast, or somebody has a bypass surgery, or somebody has arthritis, somebody has a back pain, or somebody has a wheezing trouble, breathing problem. Everybody's body has some complication. So sometimes these bodily ailments frighten us and they make us fear that maybe death is approaching very near. And then one may become discouraged in devotional service and reduce the sadhana and do just the minimum. And going to too much to doctors and trying to somehow saturate the body. Over endeavor to saturate the body by going to dozens of doctors doesn't help. And then Rupa Goswami says, don't get discouraged in your Krishna consciousness if body poses some trouble, he says. Similarly, some people have mental turmoil. The relatives have ditched them. Or insulted them, or cheated them by taking away their property, you know. Or they have no brothers, sisters, no one to shower them love and everything. So mentally also, if you are in trouble, don't worry, rush to Krishna's lotus feet. Physically you are in trouble, rush to Krishna's lotus feet. Solution is only one. One point solution. In any case, therefore, when the external energy poses some dangers and difficulties for us, we should take it as like internal shelter of internal energy. That's what Vidura did. Vidura was sharply insulted by Duryodhana, but he took it as an opportunity to quit the palace and take shelter of Krishna through pilgrimage. One can take it like that. Like there was one man who lost crores of business to partners. There were three partners. So two partners cheated him of 3-4 crores in their business. So he wanted to kill them, or he wanted to commit suicide himself. After 1 week of remaining silent at home, he decided to commit suicide. He thought if I kill them, it would become a criminal activity and everything. But now I am lost in my life. All my money is finished and everything. Finally, somehow or other, his favorite was one Ganesh. So he had gone to that temple to worship Ganesh and take permission from Ganesh to commit suicide. But by the side of that Ganesh temple, there was a hall in which there was some program going on. Nice kirtan was coming out. Beautiful kirtan, Hare Krishna kirtan was coming. So he was just curiously, he went to that hall And there he saw the effulgent personality on the stage. His own as Bhaktirasamut Maharaj. He was giving lecture, kirtan. So he sat in the kirtan and he heard the lecture, went and met him and cried and told what happened to him in his life and how he wanted to commit suicide. And Maharaj told him about, if you commit suicide, you'll become a ghost. Yeah, he said, never commit suicide. And ghosts suffer far more than humans. Now you are suffering. If you become ghost, you will have super suffering. So better you don't do it. And Maharaj openly tells this, if somebody talks about suicide. And then he preached to him and he developed a great faith in him. Now, I don't want to mention his name. He is initiated and a well-settled devotee now. But why I am telling you, when the external energy was slapping him very powerfully through a loss of few crores of rupees, so he was again taking shelter of external energy, correct, no? By committing suicide. But Maharaj elevated him to take shelter of internal energy, you see. So by the help of a sadhu, one can take shelter of internal energy. But Vidura was directly connected to Krishna. So by Krishna's inspiration, he took shelter of internal energy. Like that is saying. See, somewhere in the middle, he says, Vidura could see that Duryodhana, read that.
Vidura could see that Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, the external energy was making internal energy of Lord helped him in that particular situation. A devotee is always in renounced temperament because the worldly attractions can never satisfy him. Vidura was never attracted by the royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave the palace and devote himself completely to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana. And instead of being sorry at the strong words of insult, he thanked him from within, because it gave him the chance to live alone in a holy place and fully engaged in devotional service of the Lord. The word gata vetaha, without being sorry, is significant here because Vidura was relieved from the tribulations which trouble every man entangled in the material activities. He therefore thought that there was no need to defend his brother with his bow, because his brother was meant for ruination. Thus he left the palace before Duryodhana could act. Maya, the supreme energy of Lord, acted here both internally and externally.
Very powerful. See, when he was insulted, he did not take shelter of his brother. He didn't tell Dhritarashtra, hey, brother, look at your son, how is he speaking? No, check him, correct him. This is not the way he should deal. Probably you should put him behind the bars for some weeks, at least for the behavior that he has shown. So when he would do that, if he is attached to his upadhis, if he is attached to minister's post, and he wants to continue staying in the palace. See, this is one important lesson we should learn. See, the theme I have given, devotee is always in a... So what is the meaning of this, devotee is always in renounced temperament? We will get facilities, amenities, money, post, position, prestige, fame, all this will be given to us in the course of our Krishna conscious practice. But these things are not our goal. These are only tools. The tools should not be misunderstood to be our goals. Tools means we can use these tools to further and further propagate Krishna consciousness. Like now, I happen to be president of Pune temple. So sometimes if I say I will come home to give Bhagavatam, some people call me. So I am using it as a tool to promote Bhagavatam. We can only use it as a tool. If your post is giving you some fame, you can use it as a tool to propagate Krishna consciousness. And in the course of using these tools, we should not become attached to these tools also. If you become attached to these tools, therefore I am using the word tool. It could be money, it could be fame, it could be post, it could be position, prestige, all these things. And for him, the upadhi was, he was a minister, he was an advisor to the king. He was in a very weak position. Now you will see, Vidura will keep the bow, you know, against the wall, and he will quit the palace. You will see that. Which means, he is giving up his upadhi. And then he is going to grow beard, you know, mustache, long hair, and changing his veshbhush completely. So, public cannot identify him. They don't know who he is. When he is going to the pilgrimages, different places. Because if they know, they will ask him, kya ho gaya? What was the political diplomacy in the palace? You know, they will ask, now people will ask, hi, 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 kya ho gaya aapka, bura haal hai? Thoda bataiye, kya kya hua? Many people are very curious, they may ask him. So he did not want to waste his time talking about political gossip of the palace. Instead, he wanted to be Krishna conscious. So he changed his attire and everything. And he, you know, he took shelter of internal energy. Correct, no? So, a devotee is always in a renounced temperament, means what? Even while using these material tools, a devotee does not become attached to them. What is the proof? In case they are stripped away, a devotee is not broken down. He is not disturbed. And he goes on with his devotional service. Because did he come for devotional service or did he come for these privileges? Is the question. Correct, no? That question can be asked. So it's a very beautiful point that Prabhupada makes. So he was very... So both two personalities are seeing the same situation differently. Duryodhana and Vidura. See, Duryodhana must have been very happy. Oh, my desires are fulfilled now. Now the one thorn in my life is removed now. Now I can go on. He may be, so he's enjoying externally, yeah, due to external energy. Whereas Vidura is actually enjoying the nectar of Lord's lotus feet. Yeah, read the next translation.
By his piety, Vidura achieved the advantages of the pious Kauravas. After leaving Hastinapur, he took shelter of many places of pilgrimage, which are the Lord's lotus feet. With a desire to gain a high order of pious life, he travelled to holy places where thousands of transcendental forms of Lord are situated.
Yeah. And Prabhupada is saying that Vidura, in the 5th or 6th line, he says, Vidura considered himself less pious and therefore he decided to travel to all the great places of pilgrimage in the world in order to achieve greater piety and advance nearer to the Lord. At that time, Lord Krishna was personally present in the world and Vidura could have at once approached him directly. But he didn't do so because he was not sufficiently freed from sin. What was that sin? That is explained below. He thought that by association of the diplomatic Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, he had lost his piety and was therefore not fit to associate at once with the Lord. Because he thought that I have been in this political diplomatic situation of the palace and I am so unclean in my consciousness. Now I have to cleanse my consciousness by associating with saintly persons, visiting holy places, taking holy dip in the rivers, seeing the forms of the Lord of different incarnations. So after my chitta becomes very blossomed and pure, free from all this political contamination, then I can see Krishna face to face. Like that he, that was his idea, due to which he didn't meet Krishna directly. Yeah, and then below, in the next para, the places of pilgrimage. And that he is saying, Prabhupada is saying that one shouldn't be satisfied, however, merely by visiting place of pilgrimage and performing our prescribed duties. But one should be eager to meet the great souls who are already there, engaged in service of the Lord. That's important. And then one also should take darshan of the Archa Murtis. The Lord is transcendental to our mundane senses. So Prabhupada is saying the advantage of worshipping the deity forms. To the degree that we have entered into the service of the Lord, or the proportion to which our lives are freed from sins, that to that degree we can perceive the Lord. So two things are said. To the proportion our sinful reactions have become eradicated, and to the degree we have entered into service of the Lord. But even though we are not free from sins, the Lord is kind enough to allow us the facility of seeing Him in the Archamurti form. And then below, there is one verse, Sarvatra Prakashatandra Bhakte Sukha Dite Jagatera Adharmanashi Dharma Stapite. The Lord has dissipated Himself in Archa form all over the universe and just to give pleasure to devotees, to give the common man facility to eradicate his sins and to establish religious principles in the world. So, like this, is glorifying the Archa form of the Lord. So Vidura was going to holy places, taking darshan of the Lord's deity forms and meeting saintly persons and taking their association. 18th verse, this thing. Translation.
He began to travel alone, thinking only of Krishna, through various holy places like Ayodhya, Dwarka, and Mathura. He traveled where the air, hill, orchard, river, and lakes are all pure and sinless, and where the forms of the unlimited decorate the temples. Thus he performed the pilgrim's progress.
Yeah, see the last line of the purport, Prabhupada saying. He is saying, Vidura therefore could see nothing but Krishna in different archa forms. And ultimately was able to realize Krishna alone and nothing else. Which means, in our life, what is the preoccupation of our mind? Actually, Prabhupada says, Satatam Kirtentoma means right from the time we rise in the morning till the time we go to sleep, we have to keep ourselves completely occupied with something related to Krishna. Either speaking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, doing services for Krishna. And in this way, we should not have any gap where we opt for sense gratification. So if we lead our life like that, eventually this stage will come where one will realize Krishna alone and nothing else. There is nothing in this world, nothing but Krishna. That realization will come. Gam pariyatan medya vivikta vritti sada plato da shayano vadhutah alakshita svairavadhuta vesho vratani chere haritoshanani.
While so traversing the earth, he simply performed duties to please the Supreme Lord Hari. His occupation was pure and independent. He was constantly sanctified by taking his bath in holy places. Although he was in the dress of mendicant and had no hair dressing nor a bed on which to lie, thus he was always unseen by his various relatives.
See, vivikta vrittihi. He was not employed under anybody. He was completely independent. He doesn't have to please any material boss at all. And then he is also saying, Adaha Shayano. He was sleeping on earth. He renounced all luxuries. He didn't have any comfortable bed to sleep on. And also Avadutaha. That means he didn't do any decoration of the hair. No special style of hair. He just allowed, kept the hair unkempt like that. And Alakshitaha means he was not seen as a minister by anyone anymore because nobody knew him, who he was. He looked like one of the avadutas moving. So therefore, people could not see him, who he was, which means he did not hanker for social prestige. Because if he was attentive to social prestige, he would have continued to go for pilgrimage as a minister in a royal coach drawn by horses. Time to time, people would welcome him and salute him, correct, no? He didn't go like that. He didn't hanker for social prestige. Yeah. He was only concerned about pleasing Krishna. So in this way, when one does a pilgrimage, see, I have given the heading. Pilgrimage, see the theme? What theme I have given? Yeah. Which means the pilgrimage should be done to absorb oneself in pleasing the Supreme Lord. And without any worry about pleasing the society. And he was maintaining himself sanctified in thought and action, which means he would take a dip in Ganga, one river, and he would not even wipe the body. He would walk in the sun. And by the time the body gets dried, another holy river would come. He would again take another dip. And then he would see a chakra of a gopuram. Then he would offer namaskar, go to the Vishnu temple, and hear the sankirtan, and also meet the pujaris and ask about Stala Purana. When he would hear about the pastimes of the Lord, his hair would stand on end and he would delight. In this way, gradually his chitta became purer and purer and purer completely. And he completely got rid of social formalities and occupation and, you know, dress code and all those things. In this way, he was actually, his goal was to purify himself of the political, dirt that he had accumulated by being in the Kauravas palace. So, we have finished 10 points now. Shri Prabhupada ki.